Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to touch base with you about Money in the Bank and take an early look at the card that is projected and see what you guys think, give my quick thoughts on it. And as we get closer to Money in the Bank, we will have an official prediction show that will go into much more detail. And you know what? Some of these matches, I'm sure, will be added to or adjusted as we get closer. So stay tuned for that. We have some time, right? May 10th, I believe, is Money in the Bank. So we have time to take a look and digest and go over any changes that might be coming our way over the next few weeks. And as I record this currently, SmackDown is being aired on Fox. So I have not seen SmackDown, and I will review that along with the entire week in review tomorrow night with Michael Gross as we do our week in review and as we really go into week five of our quarantine and really start to just get used to this as best we can. I know that there's talk about reopenings and phases of reopenings and rumors of reopenings and, you know, there's so much floating around. And it's hard to grasp onto something that is such an unknown. You know, in my personal life right now, I've been home from work for exactly a month. So I think that I have at least another month to go. So hopefully I'm halfway through the lockdown. But as the weather gets nicer, which is not happening here, we're actually supposed to get a few inches of snow tonight. But as the weather gets nicer, it's going to be harder to be sitting cooped up in your house and when it's 75, 80 degrees outside, which is not too far away, even up here in upstate New York. So hope everyone's doing well, staying safe as we continue to just trek through one of the strangest times of our lives with this this pandemic that's going on. But let's get into wrestling. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. And as Money in the Bank gets closer to us and we firmly move out of the WrestleMania season, it is now full steam ahead to Money in the Bank. And really, if this makes you feel any better, a new season, meaning we are now building towards next year's WrestleMania in LA in front of hopefully 60,000 plus fans. So keep that in mind. If there's something that you need to grasp onto, it's next year's WrestleMania. That's what we're all building towards. So, all right, let's get to the card and let give you my quick thoughts on some of these. The top of the card here: Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship. Now, this was an apparent match that came to, well, started its roots on Monday with Seth Rollins giving Drew McIntyre the stomp. And I said in my Raw review that I felt like this was a program that I was willing to wait for. And now WWE gives it to us at Money in the Bank. And yeah, this has not been official. Okay, this is not an official Money in the Bank preview by any means, nor are any of these matches actually confirmed. But I think that we can say with pretty high certainty that this is indeed going to be a match on Money in the Bank. So the Seth Rollins Drew McIntyre match, hey, again, I said I was looking forward to waiting for this because it's such a big marquee match. Seth Rollins is a formidable opponent. I still don't understand the logic behind wins and losses not meaning anything, meaning Seth Rollins has a massive loss at WrestleMania, yet he's getting the title opportunity and being rewarded for attacking Drew McIntyre, where Kevin Owens won at WrestleMania and is nowhere to be found. It's just some of this booking. I mean, again, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. I mean, you look at the history of WWE. This has just been their go-to setup for a title match. We all know it. We all love or hate it. And that is, let's say it together, class, attack the champion. That is the quickest way to earn yourself an opportunity at the championship. So Nonetheless, though, when you look at the match quality, I am really, really high on the quality of this match on paper. And I don't think there's any reason anybody shouldn't be. This has the potential to really, really steal the show. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't expect Drew to drop the belt. In fact, I don't expect Drew to drop the belt until possibly SummerSlam or maybe beyond, and he pulls a Becky Lynch and goes to next year's WrestleMania as champion. And I would not be surprised to see that as well. And I think that would be a good thing. I think fans want to have that opportunity to see Drew McIntyre in person and to give him that reaction that he deserved at WrestleMania. And it's hard to duplicate. It won't be able to be duplicated. But to give fans that opportunity, I think, is necessary. And I think you'd be doing the fans a disservice. You'd be robbing Drew McIntyre of that moment. And so I think that Drew will hold the belt for many, many reasons for a long time, 6 months plus. Okay, on to the Universal Championship match. That is Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. That one is, I believe, official after last week's SmackDown of Bray Wyatt targeting Braun Strowman. I'll get the word out. And I'm looking forward to this match, not necessarily for the quality of the match, because I'm not really high on the quality of the match. This one is more relying on the story. And that's okay. I'm fine with that. You can't have every match on paper look like it's going to be a five-star classic from a physical perspective, from an athletic perspective. This one is going to be heavily reliant on the story. And that's fine. To be honest with you, I think some of the best matches in WWE history were not necessarily today's definition of a five-star athletic presentation, but rather a deep story that is pulled from reality, that rewards fans for remembering details, and you can look at two men that have had a history from 5 years ago and be able to draw from that and build a story that makes sense. And in this case, we have a clear defined heel and a clear defined babyface. So I'm looking forward to this from how they present this match as a story, not necessarily the in-ring part of it. So those are my thoughts on that. And again, this one isn't as a big of a slam dunk to have Braun Strowman retain, especially given Bray Wyatt's career trajectory that was skyrocketed to the top. He became Universal Champion. I guess you could say he beat John Cena at WrestleMania. Again, whatever the hell that was. I know many of you are thinking it's a brilliant piece of art. And to me, I look at it and see a watercoloring from a grade school art class. I mean, that's what I see when I see the Firefly Funhouse. While many of you see brilliance, I see ignorance. I see nonsensical, just crap thrown together. And yeah, you can break it down and try to make it intelligent. And maybe it was brilliant on a level that doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to exist on that level. So again, you may say, "Oh, you're just plain stupid," right? I'm sure some of you are thinking that. Well, again, the Firefly Funhouse. It's not my cup of tea. It's not how I would have presented things in a acid trip type of way. I mean, I know I've overused that phrase, but that's exactly what it was an acid trip that I don't need to go on and I don't need to be on or try to dissect to have to enjoy this. I shouldn't have to try to enjoy wrestling. It should just come naturally. So anyway, I'm getting way off topic, but the Braun Strowman thing, I think he'll retain here. And just simply because of the fact that he won at Mania and beat Goldberg. I mean, there's no other reason other than that. And he's never been Universal Champion. But Bray Wyatt is certainly his biggest opponent yet, toughest opponent yet, at least on paper and how they're presenting the current pecking order of stars. The Raw Tag Team Championship match is the Street Profits, or are the Street Profits, versus the Viking Raiders. I would, again, this, you know, you had the Viking Raiders pick up a couple of victories over the last few weeks, trying to get them in a more of a position to face a higher ranking team. And it just shows you the lack of depth on the Raw side of the tag team division. It's not very big. It's not very deep, I should say. You have the AOP who are injured, and hopefully they're back in the saddle sooner than later. Yeah, the Viking Raiders. Okay, you did have Angel Garza and Andrade, although Andrade is now the United States champion. So that team is out. You don't have a whole lot to pull from. So it's kind of just whoever's there will eventually get a championship opportunity. That's just where we are with that. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship. This one, you know, the tag team division is, I think, of a higher quality on SmackDown, but it's a tired combination of teams. Very tired. And this is, again, guys, this is not official yet, but this is what has been leaked out. The Miz and John Morrison, who are the champions, versus the Usos versus the New Day. I mean, do we have to include Usos and New Day in every title match? Do we really have to do that? Is it a law of nature? Why do we have to include these two teams every time there's an opportunity at a championship? I'm not following. You know, is it by default a WWE rule that anytime there's an opportunity, these two teams need to be there? I think it's honestly a crutch by booking, by management. I really believe that because they are incessant about these triple threat tag team matches with, especially on the SmackDown side. I don't understand. I hope this is the last time we see Usos and New Day in a tag team title opportunity for many, many months. And you know what? Or maybe what would help them is if they went to Raw. One go to Raw, one stay on SmackDown if there's a shakeup. I think that could do both teams a lot of good. They're great in the ring together, and I understand the temptation to put them together because they are very good together and they always put on good matches. But I'm tired of the excuse of having good matches over having stories make effing sense. And having the Usos and New Day in a tired, cyclical role of being the default go-tos for every title opportunity that is presented on the tag team title side is just, it's enough. It's enough. All right, moving on. This one I'm actually excited for. And I never, ever, 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 ever thought I would say this. This is for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Again, rumored, but highly likely, is Bayley versus Tamina. Now, you may say I'm crazy for being excited about Tamina. But Tamina has been kind of the redheaded stepchild of the women's division. I don't think she's given the respect that she deserves. You know that when she comes out in a multi-person match, which she's really the only format that she's been involved in are multi-women matches. It's very rarely a one-on-one. She's going to have a dominant start to the match. She's going to take out several women, but ultimately lose. She's going to look strong and then lose. That's just what Tamina does and what she's been doing. She's never been great on the mic, although, to be fair, I've never seen her even been given an opportunity to give a longer promo other than a couple of words. So, you know, I'm willing to give this a chance with Tamina versus Bayley. It's something new for Bayley to do. I guess Tamina's playing the babyface here. You know, weird because Tamina has been just kind of a default heel for several years. And so this gives something for Bayley to do. It also rewards Tamina for being that long-term soldier in the women's division that is very rarely used. And when she is, you know she's going nowhere. She's kind of the forgotten one of the family. She's just always been overshadowed by other things. And I know Nia Jax and her had a couple of moments many times over the years that were supposed to feel like a big deal, but they never did because Tamina wasn't built the way that Nia was, and it just didn't have that feeling that it should. So I hope this is something of a good start for Tamina. She certainly has a presence. Her size is what differentiates her, same as Nia. But ultimately, this could be a fun ride for Tamina. It could be a fun ride for us to watch. You know, I'm looking forward to Bayley and Tamina. And I never thought I would say that about a Tamina Snuka match. Ever. I mean, never, right? Why would I? What reason do I have to have ever been looking forward to a Tamina match? But it's new. People love new. And it also gives Bayley another way to sneak out of her opportunity or sneak and do whatever she needs to do to retain the belt. That's just what Bayley does, and it's going to be fun to see what she does this time to hold on to that championship. So, all right, well, that's my quick hit for the night, and I'll be back tomorrow with your full, much longer show with Michael Gross as we cover everything in this week in WWE. And then roll into a new week as we roll into a new lockdown week of our lives. But you know what? Every second, every minute is getting closer to a day when we just return to our normal lives, right? Since you've been listening to the show, you are 16 minutes closer to that new normal or that back to that normal life that we miss so much. Most of us anyway. Most of us. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. And again, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And until then, I'll talk to you soon.